Luke chapter 2. We are preaching today for just a few moments. I want to share a word of the Lord with you this Christmas service. I'll be brief, I promise. But want to just take a moment to share with you the conclusion of something that we've been working toward here at Fellowship for the last several weeks. We've been preaching Christmas messages since the beginning of November, and the title of this series has been Pondering These Things in Our Hearts. We're taking inspiration from Mary, the mother of Christ, as she, that first Christmas, saw and heard all the things that happened around her. And as we're going to read in just a moment, she kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. In my Bible, I have a note that explains what that phrase means, to ponder in your heart. It means to reflect deeply upon, to think about in one's soul. And that's what I want to encourage you to do this morning for the next few moments. Take a pause, like the kids told us, from all the busyness of Christmas, and just for the next few seconds, listen to the Word of God and the story of Christmas and ponder these things in our hearts. The message title today is, What Should We Ponder? If you would, and you can, why don't you stand with me if you're at Luke chapter 2, in honor of the reading of the Gospel of Jesus Christ. We are looking at verses 16 through 21. It says in verse 16, And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard as it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the spirit we felt. Thank you for the message shared with us by our children. And thank you for the good job they did and the hard work they did preparing that special presentation for us. Help us now, Lord God, ponder your word in our heart. And help us, Lord, to consider this morning the meaning of Christmas and what it is for us to trust your Son Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We love you. We give you the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. You know, I think the kids nailed it. They are exactly correct with the little skit they did. Unfortunately, it seems when it becomes Christmas time, the season's busyness has become much of what the season's about. I don't know whose idea it was to buy a house and move into it the same week of Christmas. In the McKinney household, if you don't know me, we just bought a house. And we moved Thursday and Friday. But that was not well advised, all right? Because if you talk about Christmas being busy, and then you put on top of it a full move, all right, it gets real busy. And so it's been difficult just for me personally to take a moment to reflect upon and think about what this season is really about. And I think it's difficult for a lot of people to do that. So many things happen in our lives, and of course, as we come to Christmas time, it's the end of the year. For many of us, these years have been momentous, maybe difficult, maybe joyous, maybe a little scary or frightening, and maybe a little bit uncertain as a new year draws closer. So all of this can add to this idea of, well, we got to do this, we got to do this, we got to do this, then we're done, and it's gone. We didn't have a moment to think about it or to reflect upon it. Even the first Christmas had a little bit of urgency to it. We read today in verse 16, and they came with what? Haste. So they were told a message, the shepherds, as we heard little Noah read to us there from the first 14 verses or so of this chapter. And when they heard the message, it says they went with haste to see that thing that had been told to them. But you know, I think this Christmas season, God is wanting us to do away with the haste. I think God is challenging us to slow down, to think more deeply, perhaps than ever before, about the story of Christmas and what it means to us as a people of God. And so we reach the end here of this sermon, of this series of sermons, where Mary models that same attitude for all who would come after her. And I want to just comment this morning for the next 5 minutes or so on all the things that Miss Mary must have pondered as she sat there in Luke chapter 2, a little baby in her arms, and kept and reflected upon those things in her heart. So perhaps to that first Christmas, Mary, when she was pondering, she pondered the angel's message. Perhaps she pondered the angel's message. Now, we're not exactly certain, I guess, whether, you know, we see the Christmas card, and on the Christmas card, they just throw everybody in, right? We got the wise men, we got the shepherds, we got the angels, we got the donkeys, we got the little boy with the drum. I don't even read him in anywhere in there, but he's in there. You know, we throw in Simeon, all right? He's a few weeks down the road, but just throw him in there too, right? Because that's the scene we imagine, right? The Christmas nativity, that's what's in our hearts and minds. But, you know, we're not told necessarily that there are angels there at the stable or the cave or whatever it was. We're not necessarily told that the angels are all singing about and watching little Jesus lay down his head and all that sort of thing. We're not told that. And so, as far as we know, all that Mary knew about those angels were what the shepherds said when they arrived, right? Can you imagine, ladies, having just given birth, how difficult, how troublesome that is? And then a bunch of old, gruff, nasty men smell like sheep roll up into your hospital room, you know, and want to see this baby? Why are you here? I was thinking as I was studying, that's the fastest a group of men have ever ran to see the birth of a child, all right? This doesn't happen, right? But they showed up, and Mary said, I'm sure, why are you here? And they told her, right? They told her that the angel appeared to us, told us the King of Kings was born, our Savior, our Lord. And so we went with haste to come and see Him. And so maybe she pondered that message, whatever she heard from those shepherds telling us, filling us with wonder, showing us what God was doing. But then, you know, those angels left, and I wonder if that's also part of what Mary pondered. You know, Christ came to the earth, but He didn't come for the angels. The angels were sinless creatures. They were creations of God that served God in heaven, as far as we know from God's Word. They are perfect beings. They are beautiful beings. But they came, they gave the message, they preached the gospel that night, but there's cause to wonder if they even understood what it meant, because they didn't have any sin. They didn't need a redeemer. They didn't need grace that night. But Christ brought grace to the ones who needed it. That's why the shepherds, I think, got to be the middlemen. It was wonderful that the angels came and proclaimed it, but it wasn't for them. It was for the common man and woman like you and I. It was for the sinner. It was for the low. And so these shepherds, they got the opportunity to participate in the most wonderful event that had ever happened across the ages of time. And it's because, I believe, the Lord wanted them to know, and He wants you and I to know, that Christ came with grace to the ones who need it most. What grace is, church? It's not sorting out your own problems. It's not fixing yourself and becoming acceptable to the Lord. It's not finally getting your life together or making that big change or doing whatever it is that you think is so important. What God's grace is. God's grace is the Lord, you and I, seeing how needy we are, how without help and hope we are on our own, and saying, I'm going to come and meet your need. And that's what Jesus was. Jesus, as we talked about during Sunday school, would be that satisfaction. He would, He would bear the curse and death for us so that you and I will not have to die ever again once we leave this world. We didn't deserve it. We didn't earn it. But Jesus came with it. There's a story told about Billy Graham, that famous evangelist, how he was driving through a small southern town and a policeman stopped him and charged him with speeding. Can you believe that? I thought Billy Graham was a saint. But no, he admitted his guilt to the police officer, but the officer told him he'd have to appear in court anyway. And so, when he appeared in court, the judge asked, guilty or not guilty? And so there, Graham pleaded guilty. And the judge replied, that'll be $10, a dollar for every mile that you went over the speed limit. Can you believe that? 10 over? That's barely going, right? But suddenly, the judge, the story goes, recognized the famous minister. He says, you know what? You've violated the law. The fine has to be paid, but I'm going to pay it for you. He reached into his billfold and he took a $10 bill out of his own wallet. He attached it to the ticket. And then he took Billy Graham out for a steak dinner. That was pretty good, right? Go to court to pay a ticket and get a steak dinner out of it. As Billy Graham would later go on to say, that's how God treats repentant sinners. You and I don't deserve our debt to be paid, but it isn't a question of whether we deserve it. Christ came anyway. And He came for you and for I, and He is that satisfaction for our sin and our error. And I wonder, was Mary in awe of the grace that God was showing at the arrival of this little baby? Number two, perhaps she was pondering the shepherd's response. Now, of course, the angelic presence does not last forever. I remember growing up, and growing up in church and growing up in a household of a preacher. My grandfather was a preacher, and he had two sons who were preachers, and it was just preaching all the time, all right, at the Grace household, all right? Whether you wanted it or not, right? It's preaching all the time. And so you couldn't go over there and not hear about something. And I remember we would have conversations about angels, and my grandfather, Sherman Grace, had this thing. He'd say, you know, angels don't really have wings. You all remember that? He would argue about that till he's blue in the face, right? I'm like, why don't angels have wings, grandfather? He said, well, the Bible doesn't tell us they do. And you know, that's one of those things. Well, surely, right? The Bible says that they have wings, right? He says, look it up. And then you spend, you know, 3 days trying to find a verse that says, and this angel had wings, right? Good luck, all right? But as I just remember as a little boy hearing those conversations and just kind of thinking about the awe and the wonder of angels, you know, just how magnificent creatures they must be, even in the midst of argument. But as wonderful as they were, that presence didn't last. They left, right? And it wasn't up to the angels to respond to the good news that they had brought. Instead, it was up to the people who had heard it. And that's what the shepherds did. The shepherds were the ones who responded. And I'm always impressed when I read this passage by how quickly they went to see Christ. I'm equally impressed by how quickly they decided they had to share it with others. They got there fast. They witnessed what the angels had said. And then they said, whew, we got to tell everybody. And there they went. And they went to go tell people that the Lord had been born. Notice what's not mentioned in this passage. No arguments, no quibbles, no extended discussions on the context of the passage. These shepherds, their theological education and training had been given to them in the pasture fields under the tutelage of heavenly beings. And so all they knew was what the Lord had said, and so that's all they decided they needed to share. If you had gathered the scribes and priests and Sadducees and all those folks, they probably would have examined every little detail. Well, no, I don't. Do you think this is the way the prophecy meant, or this? You know, we could have had a whole discussion, but that was not on the minds of anyone that night. What was on the minds of everyone that night was something wonderful has happened. We get to see it with our own eyes, and now we need to tell people. And there's a lesson in that, church. These shepherds immediately decided to go to Bethlehem to see what God had reported to them, and then they told others. They wanted to be part of God's work in this world. They saw God's work in the face of that little baby. If we could be so instant and so dedicated. Finally, I wonder if Mary pondered not just the angel's message, not just the shepherd's response, but finally, I wonder if she pondered God's kept promises. Before long, after those shepherds got to talking, everyone in Bethlehem would have been talking about God's mysterious surprise. The surprise that was only made known firsthand to a couple from Nazareth and unappreciated shepherds carrying out their lonely nighttime tasks. This mother, in the midst of this, had to have been thinking, so this is the way you've done it, Lord. Because remember, she was told initially what would happen. And then she didn't doubt, but she didn't know how it would take place. I've never known a man. How can I have a child? And then, of course, the angel told her that it would be the Holy Ghost, and that she had found favor with God. And then, we forget this, we kind of skip over this, 9 months. 9 months of being pregnant. 9 months of feeling that little baby kick. 9 months of indigestion. That's something that happens, right? My wife tells me, okay? 9 months of everything that comes along with a pregnancy. And so she had had time to ponder. Well, the Lord's made this promise. Will it come to pass? Will He truly be the King of Kings, the one who will save their people from their sins? And then the shepherds came. And they said, oh, these angels. Oh. And then eventually on down the road, the wise men showed up. And then when they took Him to the temple that first time, Simeon laid his hands on Him and saw Him with his own eyes. Are you following me? Just moment after moment after moment until finally, eventually, she'd be standing there at the cross looking up at the Son that she had raised, her flesh and blood, or her firstborn. I just wonder, at any point did she know this is how it was going to turn out? But at every point, she took a moment to ponder and to remember and to think, God truly does keep His promises. Certainly this little baby would grow into a man who would die on a cross and He'd be put into a tomb. But can you imagine what Mary must have felt when she laid her eyes on the resurrected Lord? Can you imagine having your child taken from you and then seeing that child alive again? You watched the child die, but now the child's alive. Can you imagine her pondering? Lord, You really do keep Your promises, don't You? Truly, this is the Savior of the world. Church, God always keeps His promises. Do you remember what the angel told Mary back in Luke chapter 1, verse 36 or 37? I'm not sure which one. She said, the angel said, with God, nothing is impossible. And church, I think that's just the theme of Christmas. Mary may not have understood what was going to happen or why it was happening or how it was going to happen. But she got to witness with her own eyes how God continued to keep His promises. And I think she must have pondered those in her heart. Let's close with this. I told you it was brief. You didn't believe it, did you? I think I've only been going 15 minutes. You know, I think it's good to ponder. We don't do enough pondering these days. I'm just going to say it. When's the last time you pondered? Bet you can't even think about it, can you? It's always go, go, go. Rush, rush, rush. One moment to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next. And then we just collapse into the bed. And then your cat wakes you up 17 times because it's in a brand new house and it's caterwauling. Ah! And then you wake up in the morning and it's time to run again. But do you think that's where the Spirit's leading us this Christmas? Do you think God just wants you to be constantly going and going and going and going and going and going and going? Do you know what one of my favorite promises in God's Word is? I will give you rest. I'll give you peace. I'll carry your burden for you. Take my yoke upon you. It's easy. And my burden is light. We need to ponder that a little bit more, church. It's not dependent upon us to do everything. In fact, there are some things you can't do. And the more you try to do them, the more you're going to find out, it's going to be confirmed to you that you can't do it. It's not possible. But thankfully, that's why Jesus came. Jesus came to do something for you and I that we could not do ourselves. And perhaps if Mary had just been focused on this, let's do this, get the nursery ready. Oh my goodness. She might have missed it. The Bible says she didn't miss it. We know she didn't. Because it says here in this verse, but Mary kept all these things. And she pondered them in her heart. Can we do that this Christmas? Can we slow down? Meditate on Him and His Word? Most importantly, can we take time to appreciate the gift that Jesus is this Christmas? I hope we can. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for the blessings of life. Thank You, Lord, for this time that we've had together to speak Your Word. I pray, Lord God, that this message, through first what the kids did, Lord, then through our worship, with our giving, our singing, and finally, Lord, open the Word of God and breaking bread from it, Lord, I pray that it's been a good service in Your house. And I pray, Lord, that right now some hearts are pondering. I pray that some thoughts are rolling through some minds that maybe some folks have not had time to sit down and think about and consider. I hope right now that God, You're directing our orientation, our spiritual hearts, our minds, our eyes to this little baby. He did not come as a conqueror. He did not come as a king. He came in the most peculiar of ways, surrounded by the strangest of happenings. All these things that made a very young girl keep them and ponder them in her heart. But God, what her eyes would see, how she would witness this young man grow, how she would be there at His cross when He would shed His precious blood for sinners like you and I gathered in this room. Let us ponder these things, Lord. And then, Lord, if You would be so kind, if You'd give us the grace of Your Holy Spirit to lead us to what we're to do with these thoughts, Lord God, we would be so grateful. That's my prayer for every person in this room this Christmas. I pray you'll take a moment to ponder these wonderful things in your hearts. May it be done. Father God, we thank You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen.